Today's morning, Srimad Bhagavatam discourse is taken from Canto 8, Chapter 1, 3, text 31 to 36, I think. Yeah, 31 to 36. The series of this text have no purpose, so it's basically about the descriptions of future manus. This chapter is dealing with future manus, so I'm going to go through text 31. Devasukham sutrama sangya indro divaspati nimokha tatvadasadhya bhavishyanti rishayastada. Please word for word translation. Kindly repeat responsibly. Devaha.
Devaha.
The demigods.
The demigods.
Sukama,
Sukarma,
the Sukamas,
Sukarma,
Sutrama Samgyaha, and the Sutramas,
Indraha,
the King of Heaven, Divaspati,
Divaspati,
Nimoksha. Nimokha,
Nimokha,
Tatpradashat Adyaha, and others like Tatpradasa, Bhavishanti, will become Rishayaha, the seven sages, Tada, at that time. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace is confirmed Acharya Srila Bhaktivedanta Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. In the 13th Manvantara, the Sukamas and Sutramas will be among the demigods. Divaspati will be the King of Heaven, and Nimokha and Tatvadasa will be among the seven sages. Text 32. Divahutrasitanaya upahata divaspati yogeshwaro hare amso brihatyam sambhavishyati. Translation. The son of Devahotra, known as Yogeshwara, will appear as a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mother's name will be Brihati. He will perform activities for the welfare of Devaspati. Text 33. Manuva Indasa Savanis Chatudhasha Maeshyati Uru Gambira Ba Buddhadya Indrasarvani Viryaja. The name of the 14th Manu will be Indrasarvani. He will have sons like Uru, Gambira, and Buddha. 34. Text 34. Pavitras Chaksucha Deva Suchi Indro Bhavishati Agni Bahu Suchi Sudo Manga Dadhyasta Pashvina. Oh my God. The translation here is wiped out. What is there? The Pavitras, okay. The Pavitras and Sakshusas will be among the demigods, and Suchi will be Indra, the king of heaven. Agni, Bahu, Suchi, Suda, Magadha, and others of great austerity will be the seven sages. Text 35. Satrayanayasya Satrayanan Satrayanasya Tanoya Atanayo Brihadanus Tadahari Vitanaya Maharaja Kriyatantum Vitaita. Translation: O King Parikshit and the 14th Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of God will appear from the womb of Vitana, and his father's name will be Satrayana. This incarnation will be celebrated as Brihadbhanu, and he will administer spiritual activities. 36. Rajams Chatu Dasata Sa Rajams Chatu Dasaitani Trikalanu Gatanite Proktanya Ebi Mita Kalpo Yoga Sahasa Prayayaha. Translation: O King, I have now described to you the 14 Manus appearing in the past, present, and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1,000 yuga cycles. This is called a kalpa, or 1 day of Labrana. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 8th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description of Future Manus. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjanan Salakaya Saksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Manavhista Sabhitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dada Iswa Padantikam Vandeham Si Guru Si Yuta Padakamalam Si Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Si Rupam Sakajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sam Sajivam Sadveta Sarvaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Si Visakam Vitam Sta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinaha Bandhu Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishware Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Rasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We Sukram Karotiva, Jalam Pangiblaga, Tungriya Kripa, Tumahamban, Lipsi, Gurundan Tari. Amaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishta Bhutale, Simati Bhakti Vidanta Swamitinam, Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharini, Anivisisya Sanyabhari, Pachatyada Sitari. So, this is basically chronological historiography, and we are understanding vividly that everything has been laid down in the scriptures. There is need for us to also understand the functions of the manus. And basically the manus, they are the father of mankind. The life of our present manu is 305,300,000 years. Our present manu, that much is light. And out of this, just a little bit less than 120,400,000 years he has lived. So more than half of his life is still remaining. And in the Bhagavad Gita 4.1, Lord Krishna mentions how he instructed the science of the Gita first to Vivisvan, the sun god. And the sun god, Vivisvan, instructed that science to Manu. And Manu in turn instructed the science of the Gita to King Ishvaku. In other words, our present Manu himself is a Kshatriya Vamsa, a member of the Kshatriya Vamsa, a Surya Kshatriya Vamsa. And we understand also that Lord Ramachandra, who is a descendant of the Raghu dynasty, is also a member of the Surya Kshatriya Vamsa. But the important thing here is not only about the chronological settings of the manus, because each and every manu is the custodian of justice, the laws. They are the rulers of mankind. And not only mankind, just like we have Swayambhuva Manu, when he ruled, the whole universe was actually in perfect shape. In fact, this is the very essence of the Raja Rishi. Leadership will only be functional and not dysfunctional if those who are at the helm of affairs, or if the leader is God conscious. And the position of the manus, or the manus, is such that their responsibility is not only to rule, but to lead by example. Because there is a difference between being a ruler and being a leader. A ruler does things right. A leader does the right thing at the right time for the upliftment of his constituency. A ruler does things right. But a leader does the right thing at the right time for the upliftment of members of society. Therefore, Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita that whatever standard the leader sets, the whole world will pursue. And incidentally, we have a literature, scripture, in a Vedic literature called Manu Samhita. In Manu Samhita, you find all of the injunctions governing the governing principles of life, the duties of each and every ashram, the duties of all members of society. They are enshrined in the Manu Samhita. One of ISKCON seances, they did some work on the Manu Samhita, which is very enchanting. And if you read that book, you'll be amazed as to what laws human society should be able to follow. And the secular laws, our constitutional laws, are simply derivatives from the Manu Samhita. Sometimes people think when you are in religious circle, you're not supposed to know anything about governance. But even in religious circles or in spiritual circles, we are involved in leadership roles. And therefore, the teachings of the Manu Samhita is very important to mankind, because it is actually best suited for the purpose of leadership as against rulership. As the Prabhupada mentions in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 4.1, how Manu, present Manu, he is very much expert at religious execution in terms of protecting humanity. And so again, it boils down to the concept of really being proper caretakers. I was mentioning yesterday how, like even in the case of Swayambhuva Manu, if he travels out of his capital and he comes back, all members of that community will come to the gate and welcome him. And not only will they come to welcome him, they will come with gifts. Everybody will come with some gift to give to the king, a Swayambhuva Manu. And it simply shows that the members of such community, they were very pleased with their leader. So Manu also, he not only ruled, but he led the people. He led by his own personal example. And that is why these people are enshrined in the Vedic literature, because of the standard they laid down, they set for the whole of humanity. Therefore, for even for our leaders, it is important for us to have some understanding of what is embedded in the Manu Samhita. And of course, if we know these things, then we better be positioned to be able to help others and to help even help the secular leaders. The Vedic literature is so vast, and it practically deals with all situations. And so here we have a glimpse of what is even to come ahead in millions of years to come, what is already being put in place. In other words, all of these big positions, they have already been occupied. These big positions, there is no vacancy anywhere. Even in the spiritual world, if even we go to the spiritual world, it's not that we are going to become Madhumangal or Subha. All these big positions, they are already occupied. We are just tiny infinitesimal entities. And so if we understand our position, then we will not hesitate to simply function in that capacity to be able to do the needful for our spiritual upliftment. And then again, we find that in the Vedic show, not only are the different races of man who's delineated, but also different other types of incarnations of the Lord, even empowered incarnations. In India, it is a very common scenario. If someone comes and displays some type of power, some potencies, mystical potencies, very easily he gets disciples all over the place. And they start worshipping him as God. And even, not only is the Manvantara incarnation delineated in the scriptures, but all other incarnations of the Lord are been given in the scriptures. The Prabhupada mentions that we should not accept someone as an incarnation if he is not mentioned in the scriptures. Now, there are so many names here. And if someone comes to say, "Oh, don't you know I am the Manu? I am the Manvantara incarnation. The one you are actually expecting, I have come." Then we should carry the Bhagavatam and cross check. "What's your name?" Okay. Then we should check through whether his name is there. Because, in a sense, the cheating that goes on even in spiritual circles is even more intense than what goes on outside there. People claim that they are incarnations. And this we find also in the case during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has to deal with a particular incident of someone who was saying he was incarnation of Vishnu. But again we find that he was, even Bhaktivinoda's family was tormented. The man has so much of mystic powers that he could curse anyone. And he did that to Bhaktivinoda's family. So at some point in time, even Bhaktivinoda's wife came to beg Bhaktivinoda, "Release this man," because he put the guy in jail. He put the incarnation of God in jail. And so from there he was emitting some dangerous curses, and his family was affected. But Bhaktivinoda was completely adamant to the wife's plea. Eventually, the so-called incarnation of God died in jail. Krishna revealed to him what to do. Cut off his hair. A big hair is having. That is where his mystic power is. Bhaktivinoda removed all that for the shaving of the head, and that is how he made his Waterloo. So the Bhagavatam is our eye opener. There are so many people who will come to say they are this incarnation or that incarnation, but except such persons' names are delineated in the Vedic literature, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and Gaudiya Vaishnavas in general, they don't accept such cheap incarnations, be they Manvantara incarnation or whatever. And therefore it is important for us to find time to study the Vedic literature. If we look behind and see how we have mismanaged our time, then we can understand that we are not very much Krishna conscious. Because Krishna says, he says in the Gita that he is time. I mean, just like we cannot abuse prasada, we cannot throw away, because if we throw away prasada many and anyhow, then we get some repercussions. We will have some scarcity in due course of time. Similarly, time is Krishna, and therefore we cannot abuse time. We have to manage our time very nicely. So Prabhupada has designed his society in such a way that devotees don't mismanage time, or they don't waste time, or they don't abuse time. And so the whole idea is to be able to streamline activities in such a way that we are having some time to be able to come together and share from the scriptures for our own upliftment, for our own spiritual elevation. Not only for our own spiritual elevation, to be equipped with proper education, culture, and devotion. And what will be the reason for that? So that we become devotionally stable. Because the tendency is, if we're not fully equipped, then we could be, anytime we have a little bit of temptation, we begin to think otherwise. Maybe this is not the proper thing I'm doing. Maybe this is not the proper place I'm staying. But if we are fully equipped with the knowledge of the scriptures, if we are fully equipped with devotion and the Vedic culture itself, then we will be stable like the rock of Gibraltar. And if we go out there, we will not be deceived by the external factors, which also entails those who are parading themselves as incarnations. I remember there was a gentleman in Nigeria whose disciples were saying that he was an incarnation. And some of his disciples came to meet Bhaktivedanta Swami, that inviting him to come and meet their God incarnation. So the simple test Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj gave to the so-called disciples of this false incarnation is that, so you are living with God, you are serving God, you stay with him. So it means that you have full control over your senses, because you have been living with God. Are you? So, do you eat meat, fish and eggs? What about intoxication? And the so-called disciples of the so-called false incarnation, they say no. But even their own false incarnation has publicly mentioned that those who are vegetarians have a better chance of a higher understanding of God. But the people who are even serving him, serving the false incarnation there on a daily basis, they can't give up even the flesh. So Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj told them, if that is the God you are worshipping, that he cannot even purify you of these gross sinful desires, then I'm not ready to come and see that God. So the point is, if we are equipped with the sastric education, culture, knowledge and devotion, then we will not be deceived by all of these false incarnations. Because we find even in our own movement, I remember in New Jersey, someone was complaining how people who have been in the movement for a number of years, they get diverted and they start following some Indian Swami who claims to be God. After being even in the movement, the Hare Krishna movement for years, this simply shows that people are not reading the Vedic literature. They are not reading what Prabhupada has given to us. Because again we find that even with the Manvantara incarnations, they are all delineated in the Bhagavatam. So if people read these things, how could someone in his proper sense or proper mindset ever give up the shelter of Srila Prabhupada and follow someone who claims to be an incarnation? Again, we find in the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna himself explains the different mystical potencies. And people don't understand these thoughts. Then someone displays some little bit of mystic power and they get enamored. Therefore, there's a need for us to find time every day to listen to Prabhupada's lectures. If we are too busy and we don't even have time to tap into that resource that is a legacy left behind for us to be able to utilize to fortify ourselves, then we could easily become victimized, because if the fabric is weakened, then it's like a tree that the root is not deep. We may do very many wonderful things, but if we are not deep rooted, the wind comes. When a hurricane comes, it blows down trees. Trees fall off. It is the trees that are not deep rooted. Those who are not deep rooted in disaster, those who do not have strong faith, they are the people who get bewildered. And therefore, it is important for us to do proper time management in our devotional culture. We shouldn't waste Krishna's time for anything that is not going to be beneficial to our own spiritual development and for the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Because to him much is given, much is expected. We are all supposed to be teachers here. Whether you are a man, you are a woman, everybody in this moment, Prabhupada came to the West to train Brahmins. A Brahmin is a teacher. And all of us here, we may meet someone outside who will ask you, oh, what is this Hare Krishna that you are talking about, that you belong to? You have to give the person some understanding that is teaching. When you have to share what you have with someone, you are inculcated into that person ideas that will help to give that person a leverage. And the more we become exposed to the devotional knowledge domain, then that much will be able to tap the resources that are there to be able to help others whom we get in contact with. That precisely is what Prabhupada wants his movement to be, a movement of Brahmins. A Brahmin is a teacher. So in whatever little way we can, we have to see how we are helping out. There are so many people who do not know the very essence of life, and that's why you find that people are running helter-skelter trying to give themselves some sukha in all ramifications. But the idea of the manus is to be able to give a leverage based on spirituality, based on religiosity. And that is why they become endeared to their
citizens or to their dependents or to members of their constituency.
And inasmuch as we adhere to the injunctions of the Manu Samhita, which Prabhupada often quotes in terms of the duties of the social order and the spiritual order, our obligations to the spiritual master, our duties to humanity in general, of course, if we are serving the Lord, then we no longer become debtors to anyone. Otherwise, everyone in this world is a debtor. So we have to take cue from what is enshrined in the scriptures in terms of obligations. And again, like I mentioned, if even we become perfected, there's no vacancy anywhere in terms of big position. You go to the spiritual world, everywhere is occupied. Radharani is there, the eight principal gopis are there. There is no vacancy anywhere. Therefore, we have to understand that we are simply dasa das anudas and act in that wise. Essentially, we should become caring thinkers. In a community like this, what Bhaktisiddhanta mentioned in terms of community development is that he understood in principle that in a community there are bound to be some misunderstanding amongst members of the community. Even I was telling someone, even myself and my own father, when I was even a teenager, I had some fracas with my father. Even as a teenager. Remember, my grandmother told me that, hey, your father is just wasting his money to train you. I said, why? He said, because you are not going to be here. You're not going to be around. So again, we find that sometimes we think that the women, they are less intelligent, but the women are more perceptive than even the men. So even in our communities, we have to see how we are treating the women very nicely. The women and the children, they are the carriers of culture. So Yambuva Manu, he has to take his daughter to go and give to her husband, Kadama Muni. This is the exemplary standard of a leader in protecting the women folk and protecting the children. A big community like this, we have to be very much watchful and sensitive to the external bearings. In fact, what has happened in the past in some of our communities should give us a big lesson to be very much cautious and to be very much protective of our devotees. This has been exemplified by the Manus themselves. A typical case is the case of Swayambhuva Manu. So Krishna didn't make a mistake to bring us together in this community here in Alachua, Florida. So those who are here, you should count yourself to be very fortunate. Take proper advantage and grow spiritually, devotionally, and even otherwise. So I'd like to thank all of you for coming for this morning Bhagavatam discussion. And at this time, I'd like to leave the doors open. Maybe there are some comments or some questions on this or any other relevant issue. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for coming. I was listening to your class, there were two things that sort of were, you know, plaguing or hammering at my brain as I was listening. Because the class dealt with leadership. So I have two questions that I'd like to hear you, you know, if you can shed any light on these issues. One is, in an ecclesiastical organization, you have to have some management as far as appointing ecclesiastical leaders, like gurus, whether it's in this movement, in the Catholic Church, or any religious organization, in order for it to run on. So there's the question of people who are sanctioned or appointed ecclesiastically, and then people who become self-evident. And they may be the same people, or they may be somebody who, because they're not in the political system, they don't know how to properly go through the proper channels and whatever, get appointed. That's one question. The other one is sannyasis are in one order of life, so to speak, and you have your management, and sometimes sannyasis, they take the position of being like GBC, or they get into management issues. So I would like to know what you have to say about how sannyasis, who are supposed to be renounced, dealing with money and politics and sometimes women, various things like that. How you feel about that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a nice question. What's your name?
My name is Kangen Ryan Das. I'm a Srila Prabhupada disciple.
Yeah, I know majority of the people here are Srila Prabhupada disciples. Yeah, that is a very important point that you raised. I'd like to address the last point. We have to go into retrospect to see how did Prabhupada design his movement. Did he want some GBCs to be sannyasis or not? I wasn't there, but obviously some of the first GBCs, they were sannyasis. And so, I wouldn't want to be a GBC, frankly speaking. Why? Because I have a lot of obligations. And for instance, even my preaching, my main project is in the academics. And I have to, some days I have to sleep at 2 a.m. research and writing. And have to do two things: to integrate the Vaishnav philosophical thesis with the secular mundane ideals. So that alone is overwhelming for me. And that is the instruction my Guru Maharaj gave to me, that I should, you know, see how to be able to use the Vaishnava philosophy to proffer solutions to social, political, economic issues in the global village. And there are people in general who like to manage. We have our backgrounds. We have our inclinations. And there are people who don't also like to manage. It's just like when we join the movement, some devotees, right from the beginning, I remember in Los Angeles, several years back, there was one new devotee who just joined. I think he just visited and then was being cultured to be able to be Lord, to stay in the temple. So he saw the pujari after, you know, sitting up the deity's plate. And then pujari was taking it down. And he saw the whole of this arrangement. So he was asking that, this is for who? Prasadam, you know, deity prasadam. So they told him that, this is for the deities. And then the next question he asked? He said, so how long someone will be here so that before he becomes a deity?
Because the person was very opulent, so I mean, all that he was thinking it was you know, to enjoy prasadam. So he was asking vividly how what it takes to become a deity. So there are people that right from the beginning they're thinking of, you know, how to expand their enjoyment proclivity. So again, if that is inherent in the person, it is difficult to give it up. Except one becomes very serious in sadhana, very stringent, and so as to transform all of those illicit desires into love of God. So the point is, now we have to look back to see what and how the Prabhupada designed the movement. Did he want sannyasis to be GBCs or not? Obviously, he did appoint some sannyasis to be GBCs. And an organization like ours, which is an international organization, first we have to think globally, but we have to act locally. And there are people who are supposed to help with managing affairs globally of this movement. And if someone is having some credibility and his community want him to help, and they say, "We want this." They bring him to the notice of the GBC. "We want this person to participate in governance of our movement." The community, they know that person better, and they want him to be part of the governing body that is a credit for that community because they have a representative. And based on our own spiritual norms, even the Raja Rishis, what qualifies them to be leaders is that they have so much of information culture. And they have also so much of devotion. So integrating both actually gives them a favorable ground to be able to thrive in their leadership position. In other words, if someone does not have a strong sadhana, it could be very difficult to manage even a small temple. Therefore, if even someone is a sannyasi, someone is a grihastha, someone is a grihasthi, if you are put in leadership, you have to be an example for others. Lord Ram went to the war front himself. If you're a leader, you can't tell somebody, "Go to Mount Arati," and you don't go. If you don't go to Mount Arati, you will not even have the impetus to tell someone to come and announce that we want all of you to come to Mount Arati at least first Saturday of the week. I mean, of the month. You don't come yourself. Where will you have that zeal? It will be hypocritical for you to even think about encouraging people coming to announce publicly that they should be encouraged to come to Mount Arati. Therefore, a leader, just like I mentioned before, a leader is different from a manager. A manager and a ruler, they have the same qualities or the same qualifications or the same status. A manager does things right. A leader does the right thing at the right time for the upliftment, for the transformation of, for his individual transformation and the community transformation. Therefore, if someone has that type of quality of motivating people to do the right thing at the right time, he's a leader. And he should be encouraged to take up some leadership position, whether he's a grihastha, a grihasthi, or a sannyasi. Because what people want, and of course, we were discussing issues of failures of leadership in the global society with some doctoral students at Walden University. And so I was raising this issue of why the leaders have failed, the political leaders have failed. And then one of the doctoral students, he said, "Is it because they don't have communication skills? I said, who told you that? Our leaders are the best of communicators. Can someone say that, you know, the leaders who has problems in the global society, political leaders, they were not good communicators? They were good communicators. They were very expert in communication. But they failed the masses. They fell right on their nose because they couldn't have control over their sensory modalities. So that is something that academics don't venture into. They don't venture into that because practically everyone, almost every one of them, is a victim of that. And then they talk about very many wonderful external things, and they don't look at what really caused this person's fall down, political fall downs. In most cases, if you talk about corruption, corruption is rooted in what? Lack of self-restraint. They don't control their senses. They get enamored and they got caught up in the web of material illusion. Even gross illicit sex is just the same thing. They don't have control over their senses. Therefore, we'll find that these problems are there. They are not only there in the secular, in the political arena, they are also there in the spiritual arena. And therefore, a devotee who is having a strong sadhana. See, if someone is weak in his sadhana, you don't go about pointing. Those who live in glass houses, they should never throw stones. Because if they throw the stone back to you, what will happen? It will shatter the whole of your house. It will shatter your house. Therefore, we have to be very compassionate. And if even someone has some difficulty, we should be constructive critics. Criticism is a constant. We can't say we will not criticize people, but we should be involved in constructive criticism. Constructive criticism means I want to provide a solution to the problem. Remember, somebody was saying, I'm just complaining, I don't have any solution. Why are you complaining when you don't have any solution? So, the point is, it's a good point you brought up. Again, I like reference. I remember, I was in New Jersey for 4 or 5 years, and each time someone gives a class, I will ask a question. I said, I want to repeat this thing you said, but where's the reference? And then at some point in time, I was being seen as somebody who is just too much into scholarship and asking for too much of references and all those things. Incidentally, when I went back to New Jersey, when I came from India, each time I hear someone gives a class, almost all of the devotees, they will ask for reference. Yeah, but reference is our footnote. Therefore, I mentioned when Prabhupada established the GBCs, what was the model? What was his modus operandi? What was his modus vivendi? Did he put in seances at GBCs? So that is how we can figure out the most viable thing, the most feasible thing to do. The thing is about quality, not even about social status. So Yambuva Manu was married. He was married. But he ruled. He ruled the whole universe. There are some of the GBCs who are married. They are doing very nicely. There are some of them who are sannyasis. And they are also doing nicely. So we have to figure out what did Prabhupada want in this case. What was the design? What was Prabhupada's design for this type of position? Obviously, he made sannyas GBCs. When he was there on the planet.
But then, if I'm a seance, it doesn't mean that I must be a GPC. I have the seance in, come on, put me there as GPC. No, it doesn't work like that. And so if we know what we need, not what we want, our society will be saved. See, I feel very obliged to be here, and I feel very fortunate to be here, because here I made so many disciples of Prabhupada. And I'm a rolling stone. I'm gathering storm. I'm gathering mercy from all nooks and crannies. Therefore, I've come here to get all of your blessings. I remember somebody was asking me a question. In Mayapur, I gave a class and someone was asking me a question. I can't remember the distance, but, you know, I mean, sometimes I talk like a madman, you know. So, immediately he asked a question. I didn't even wait for him to finish his question. I said, but, you have been in this movement before me. For many years before me. He's also a proper disciple. He was asking some question. I can't remember the question. But then I just threw it in back to him and said, you were here before me, so you answered that question yourself. And the whole class burst into laughter. So, but your point is very good. We have to see each other as an extension of Prabhupada. And we should see those good qualities in people to be able to find those good qualities so as to let that help in their spiritual growth. But if we only look at bad sides of people, that will not help those people much, because they will not be motivated. What Prabhupada, again, I go back to the point of Prabhupada. What did Prabhupada do in trying to motivate devotees? Did he look at the bad side of the people? I was not there with him, but I read from the books. Did he look at the bad side of his disciples? If he looked at the bad sides, nobody would ever have become his disciple. Because majority of the people who met him in New York were hippies. He changed their lives. He didn't even tell them any rule or regulation. What he did, he was very proactive. Prabhupada was proactive to the core. He would just expose them to the chanting, give them prasadam, gulab jamun. I heard there used to be a pot of gulab jamun right there at 26 Second Avenue. And the bombs, they just come. Anybody who comes has a chance to take some gulab jamun and, you know, fill himself up. This is proactivity. Papa was proactive to the core. So we should be proactive. If we are proactive, this society can grow like anything. But if we are just reactive, it will bring about a diminishing return. Because we are conditioned souls. Conditioned souls, they don't want to follow orders. If even you go to the house and tell your wife, do this, do this, do this. I remember one devotee was telling me, I don't want to mention the temple. I went to this temple and then he said, oh, Mara, can we make you some carrot juice? I said, why carrot juice? He said, carrot juice is very nice. It's nice for the eyes, it's nice for everything. I said, but why carrot juice? Anyway, I later accepted. So he said, I'll tell my wife to make plenty. I said, why? So that I will also take some. I said, but if you need carrot juice, why don't you just tell your wife to do it for you? And he said, you know what he said? He said, she won't do it. I said, have you tried it? He said, yes, Maharaj, I tried it. He said, what did she say? He said, I told her to do some carriages for me, and then he said, do it yourself. You know what that means? You know what that means? It means that a man is just going to order the woman around, come and do this for me, come and do this for me. You only when you want some sense gratification, then you go and meet your wife. That's when you know that you have a wife. It doesn't work like that, you know. A man and woman, they're supposed to be involved in cooperative venture. It's not that you don't give the woman any quality time and you're so-called busy. If you're so going to be so busy, why you marry? You're going to be so busy. Why you need a woman? Be busy all through. A woman needs your time. It needs quality time. It's not that when you're hungry, then you go and say, I need to eat. I need this. That's not why we have the social contract. So we have to understand, because this is a devotional community, and we have to understand simple things. They say charity begins at home, you know. Charity begins at home. And so leadership also has to do with the home. If you are not a good husband, you're not a good wife. Or the woman says, I'm so busy with daily service and all our temple activities, I can't cook for the children and my husband. If you're so busy, well, be a brahmacharini. Why you have to give birth to children? Why you need a husband? You're so busy. Don't get married. Be a brahmacharini for the rest of your life. You can be busy 24 hours. Nobody. You don't have any child to come and cry on you for food. You don't have any husband who will come back from work and look for food. So these are practical things we have to do. And therefore, we should be proactive. That's the bottom line. Instead of being reactive, which is going to, you know, bring some setbacks to our own selves, to our spouse, and to the community, we should be proactive. But ideally, we should not keep quiet when things are going wrong, because this is our Father's movement. This is Prabhupada's movement. And except we begin to think that this is, I'm just a worker here. If you're a worker in a firm, whatever that goes on in that firm, it's not your concern. You know, you just work and get your salary and finish, is it not? But if you are the owner of the company, you watch, you monitor everything, how things are going on very nicely. So we should be like the owner of the company who monitors everything, how things are going on nicely. And if you see something wrong, fix it without caring who gets the credit. You see something wrong, fix it. Don't care who gets the credit. That is being proactive. Even in the U.S. Army, that is one of the premises. You see something wrong, fix it. Don't care who gets the credit. In the U.S. Army, not a spiritual community, military community. They say, fix anything you see that's going on, fix it. Don't just complain anyhow. Fix it and don't care who gets the credit. So there are so many things we can learn from everywhere. We should live our lives in such a way that we motivate ourselves and we motivate others. Forget about so many hundreds and thousands of people who are not doing correctly. The correct things we want, we should start with ourselves. Let us be the change we want to see in the world. Let us be the change we want to see in our society. So, that being said, thank you. I think I'll take a last question because I have to go and get ready to go to the college. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada also Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sudhaguru and Srila Prabhupada also Amandamaya Bhasa or Srila Bhakti looked at the 14 Manus, Savarni to all the way to Indra Savarni, and so Sanghuva Manu to all the way to Indra Savarni, these 14 Manus, these positions are fixed. And then the soul, whoever is qualified according to that, Krishna will select them and put them in future. But question comes, this is a calculated existence of pleasure-seeking nature. When the calculative or some idea is there, I calculate what is the result, that is still under the jurisdiction of karma. And when there is a calculation of rejection, or come to a conclusion that just by mental imagination to proceed further, Jnani and Yogi comes. But the spiritual world, those positions has taken, but that should not be seen what I heard from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. For an example, Garuda is a Nitya Siddha devotee. After Kaliya was completely subdued by Krishna's beautiful lotus footprint, that he started praying what he heard from his wives, their pure devotees. That time he begged also, I would like to have a position that I could serve under that great personality, even though out of his fear, out of his curse, that I came to Jamuna to shelter for 4 millennium from 24 to today, 28 of this double jiva. But he asked to be anugutta or under guidance of Guru. But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, this Baddha Jiva, conditioned soul, Guru has his permanent position in the spiritual world. But this Baddha Jiva Kaliya has better position than that. How? Because Vihara Bhagavatam is explaining that Guru never carries the gopis or rasa dance or anything. Kaliya exhibited that. Every hood has all these gopi girls and they were dancing. So the happiness, question is, just like if you give an example, like a mother see a child, she doesn't calculate, she feels. It's a feeling. The whole atmosphere of Brajadam is a feeling. So the feeling of Garuda compared to Kaliya, Kaliya is much higher. We cannot calculate that we have less than Yudhishthira over there. This is just my opinion.
Thank you very much. Thank you. What's your name?
Pran Govind.
So, I've seen some. What is it? You want to make some comment?
Yes, I read where Prabhupada was saying that the gopis and the coward boys, they were made up of eternally liberated souls and elevated souls who are occupying those positions as gopis or colored boys. Mm. So we shouldn't think that those positions are not attainable, because they are, you know, what would be the purpose for Krishna consciousness or to do all these austerities or to chant Hare Krishna if we can't be elevated to the positions of these rasas.
Similar, Prabhupada also said in one discussion, we are not Maya. If we think we want to take what Nara said, I agree, we are not going to be Madhu Mangala. Prabhupada said that. About, what's his name? Virabhadra. He asked Amandesha Maharaj, where is Virabhadra? He said, oh, he is outside. He's thinking he's in the war with Arjuna. And Prabhupada said, oh. Then he asked Prabhupada, can I be like Arjuna? Prabhupada said, we are not Maya. You don't become Arjuna. You can go there and assist. So we can go there to assist them. We never become one of them. Or we don't take the positions, Maya conception. We will always be servant.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. What's your name?
Mahavrita.
Okay. Yeah. So those are very nice contributions. Yeah, the whole idea is that we go through the spiritual world. We have eternal relationship with Lord Krishna. And basically is to be able to assist with Lord Krishna's a pastime with the gopis, to assist the gopis. If even we become, if our internal relationship is in that wise, whatever the situation is, we're not going to become Krishna. We're not going to become Balaram. It is to be able to assist. You're like the person who was asking that, so when am I going to, how long does it take for one to become a deity? All right, so thank you very much. Yeah. Guys, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.